Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half of the program, we're going to be discussing how journalists investigated and uncovered much of the truth about the Uvalde school shooting, but there's still some truth out there that needs to be told. But first, U.S. Customs and Border Protection want to add miles of new stadium lighting along the Rio Grande in West and South Texas, and this could do immeasurable harm to wildlife in the area. To tell us more, we're joined by Lakin Jordal. He is the Southwest Conservation Advocate for the Center for Biological Diversity. And Lakin, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much for having me, David.
Describe this lighting. How big is it? How bright is it? And how often does it turn on?
So based on what we understand, this lighting is as bright as the lights you'd see on a baseball field in a stadium at night. And Border Patrol is trying to build 45 miles of this lighting in Starr County and El Paso County. This would fundamentally change the experience of dark night skies in the borderlands, and it would have severe impacts on all sorts of wildlife.
So this would shine every night, all night?
Yep. As far as we understand, they want to illuminate the dark. They want to turn the night into day across the borderlands.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you want to join the conversation, get a question or comment about this proposal to light up the border, you can also text us at that number, 833-877-8255. So what is the concern with the Center for Biological Diversity with turning night into day along the border?
Yeah, so we are losing our dark night skies around the world at a truly alarming rate. This has profound impacts throughout the ecosystem. There's a wealth of scientific information that show the impacts of artificial light pollution on wildlife. Lighting affects pollinators. It affects navigation of migratory birds. It affects how animals hunt. And it changes the entire ecosystem balance. So it is well understood that light pollution causes cascading impacts throughout the ecosystem and can lead ultimately to the extinction of wildlife species.
Now, I'm sure the Border Patrol wants to light up the border because they say this is going to help them with their mission, to stop illegal immigration or drug smuggling or whatever it is they're trying to do on the border. Do you see if lighting up the border like that, is that going to help the Border Patrol do their jobs?
You know, we've heard from individual agents that lighting like this actually interferes with their night vision technology. You know, Border Patrol has the most advanced military-grade surveillance technology. They have thermal imaging technology, sensors, night vision capabilities, and this flood lighting can actually interfere with some of that capacity. So it's really mystifying to us as to what they're really trying to get out of installing this almost 50 miles of stadium lighting. And the cost of this, I mean, the harm that this will cause is so severe. We are, you know, urging them to not go forward with the project.
Could this actually help smugglers across the border if it's all lit up all the time? I mean, the Border Patrol is not going to be everywhere along the border, but the lights will be, so they can just cross.
Right. I mean, you know, that's not my area of expertise, but I can say that when we've seen border walls go into place, we've seen new infrastructure go into place, we've seen the construction of new roads. And then those roads are often, you know, they're used by Border Patrol, but they're also used by smugglers. So it really doesn't make any sense on a tactical level. And Border Patrol has at least failed to make any sort of argument that makes sense as to why they want to move forward with this project.
Well, speaking of not making sense, so I also recently got a notice from Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. They're asking for people to dim their lights. They have a Lights Out initiative during peak spring migration season. They're saying that all the bright lights of the cities and towns is confusing birds as they fly on their northern breeding grounds, and that Texans are encouraged to help their winged friends on their journey by turning lights out at night across the state from March 1st to June 15th, and also during May 22nd through May 12th, April 22nd through May 12th. So that's mixed messaging. Try and figure that out for me.
Well, I mean, it's fantastic that Texas Parks and Wildlife is advocating for dark night skies. They clearly understand the impacts that artificial light pollution can have on wildlife, like migratory birds. There's a ton of scientific literature out there that shows how lighting can confuse migratory birds. It can actually affect their sense of direction. It can play with the electromagnetic field that they use to navigate. And as I think many of your listeners know, the Rio Grande Valley in South Texas is a world-class destination to seabirds. It's a key migratory flyway. It is the last place that we should be lighting up at night because of its importance to migratory birds.
So the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, they have been asking for public input on that. Is that window closed for doing that?
Yeah, so that window, the preliminary window, closed last week. We filed, you know, highly technical comment letter with a coalition of local groups in Texas and also groups from across the nation to oppose that plan. You know, theoretically, Border Patrol will open up another comment period after providing additional information about the lighting. But as we've seen based on past Border Patrol actions, they don't often stick to their word when it comes to environmental law and environmental planning. So we'll be monitoring this closely. We're going to fight this thing every step of the way. We are demanding a justification as to why they want to move forward with this project. And we will do everything in our power to fight for the wildlife and communities in Starr County, in El Paso County, to make sure that people can still look up at night and see the Milky Way without being blinded by these stadium lights.
So this is just policy that's being implemented by the Biden administration. This is go back to, the Department of Homeland Security and the Biden administration.
Yeah, correct. I mean, we saw a ton of lighting built and installed in Arizona, in New Mexico, and some in Texas back in 2019, 2020. Now we are seeing these new plans to build new lighting. So this is the first time in this administration we're seeing this current push.
All right. And so I guess by alerting the public to this issue and what the consequences are, the limited benefits for border security, are you hoping that you're able to get a response from higher ups in the border, in the Biden administration, to take another look at this?
Yep. Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, we want to elevate this message, this issue. We want to make the public and policymakers aware of the severe harms of this light pollution and the total lack of any apparent benefit of it, right? So ideally, I mean, yes, we want to get the ear of the administration. We want to talk to high ups at DHS because they clearly do not understand the impacts of this project proposal. And I think, you know, it's no secret that Border Patrol is no friend of wildlife, but we are urging them to take into account the severe harms this project would cause to migratory birds, to ocelots, to mountain lions, to bats.
Right.
There's just such a long list of impacts here.
So when we come back, I want to ask you more about this project, the proposal, the impact of the lights, but also what you have seen up and down the border with how the wall in itself has impacted wildlife. Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from La Fonda on Main, honoring the authentic cuisine of interior Mexico since 1932. Open for lunch, brunch, and dinner. More information at lafondaonmain.com.
The EarthX 2024 Environmental and Sustainability Congress of Conferences is happening in Dallas, April 22nd through the 26th, bringing together all sides with one important mission: protect our planet. For info, earthx.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half hour, we're going to be discussing the Uvalde and shooting. We're coming up on 2 years marking that horrible event. What have we learned since then? What do we still need to know? What is progressing with a grand jury investigation? But right now we're talking about the border, border wall, and border lighting. The Border Patrol is proposing to install floodlights, high-intensity floodlights, stadium lighting, along the Rio Grande. And conservationists are saying that this is going to do harm to endangered species and wildlife habitat along these areas. And so we're speaking with Lakin Jordan. He is the Southwest Conservation Advocate for the Center for Biological Diversity. So tell me what you think this could do to the McDonald Observatory and the greater Big Bend International Dark Sky Reserve that has been set up in West Texas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so West Texas is so remote, so incredible. It has some of the most incredible dark night skies I've ever seen. I had the amazing privilege of working at Big Bend for a season, looking at impacts to wilderness there. And that park is renowned as a place where you really can see the stars so brightly at night. Part of that's because of the remoteness, part of that's because of the lack of humidity in the desert. It's got such great visibility. And recently, the park was finally announced as one of the first international dark sky preserves in the world. So it is globally recognized as a haven for dark night skies. The lighting proposal that CBP is moving forward with would electrify a huge swath of the border north and west of that park. So certainly conceivable that the light pollution from all of this stadium bright lighting would actually affect the dark sky preserve. There's also the McDonald Observatory, one of our nation's preeminent sites for astronomy, that we are concerned could be impacted by this project too. And it's not just us at the Center for Biological Diversity, but Dark Sky International, which is the world's preeminent authority on dark night skies. They've been calling alarm to this project's potential to impact the observatory and dark night skies at Big Bend as well.
Could this, the lighting so bright and so large and it covers such a big span, is this going to be visible from space?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Google Earth, you look at nighttime photos of some of the existing areas on the border that have lighting, you can see this long stretch of lights blasting along an unnatural linear barrier. So it's certainly conceivable to say that you'd be able to see this lighting from outer space.
So one caller left a message, didn't want to go on the air. David says, why does the Border Patrol really want all these 50 miles of intense lighting?
That's a question that we're asking Border Patrol to justify. I think, so many places along the border, we've seen them move forward with projects not because they're actually tactical or make any strategic sense, but because they have a ton of money to burn. And different administrations of different parties, have both tried to look tough on the border. They've installed border walls in places that made no sense. I think part of this lighting proposal is designed to make the border look like a security zone, to make it look like we have some sort of handle on the issue, even if the lighting doesn't do anything tactically for Border Patrol.
All right, and I got another caller, and this is from Alisa. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, I'm a wildlife environmental advocate in San Antonio, and we do know that our wildlife, our wild birds, our migratory birds are declining. So what can the public do to help get involved in this situation? Obviously, I just heard of this, so we missed the window. But what can we do? Go online, share, information to educate people about this idea that, these lights are going to benefit, trying to catch, illegal crossings or something, but will harm our wildlife,
Right.
Where can we go to? What can we share to inform others, educate people about the hazard or, this is going to affect our wildlife on a big scale, and we've already lost a lot of our migratory birds. So we want to do what we can to share and get involved in this fight to protect our wildlife in Texas.
Elisa, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. So Lake and Jordell.
Yeah, no, great question. I mean, I think most importantly, we can reach out to this administration, to decision makers at Border Patrol, and let them know that we find these plans completely unacceptable. There should.
What about the Congress people like Henry Cuellar, who represents the border area in Stark County?
Absolutely. Yeah, reaching out to your members of Congress, letting them know that this is a significant issue. A number of representatives have weighed in on border militarization like this. I think some folks like Cuellar could use an extra nudge on that front. But yeah, certainly reach out to your members of Congress, share this story and other stories about the issue. And I think so importantly, you know, we have to reframe the narrative about the border. Starr County, where these lights are going to go up, there are not a lot of border crossings in that area. It is a serene rural stretch of the border. It is not a war zone. And I think we have to refute this narrative that the entire border is some sort of war zone that's deserving of concertina wire and walls and flood lighting, when it's just not the reality for the vast majority of our beautiful border region.
What does this flood lighting shining every hour of every night, what's that do to the insect population?
Yeah, you know, I was reading a study recently that as soon as an insect or a moth is attracted to a light source at night, an artificial light source, it has a 33% chance of mortality that very night. So lighting often will attract or repel insects. When it attracts them, they can just hover about that light until they become so exhausted that they die. So it has severe impacts, especially on insects, especially on pollinators. We're talking about moths, which there are thousands of species of moths and butterflies in the Chihuahuan Desert. These will be affected by this lighting proposal. And that, of course, has cascading impacts throughout the ecosystem. It affects pollination of many plant species, and it affects the predators who hunt these moths at night.
So it would cause, it could cause like a collapse of the food chain right there.
Yeah, you know, it's just another instance of humans meddling with these systems that have evolved over millennia to be in perfect balance. And we keep pulling thread after thread out of this patchwork that is the ecosystem. And I think now we are starting to see some of the impacts. The extinction crisis is looming before our eyes.
Well, what about the border wall itself? So it's in some places, it's got these like slats. It's not really like a wall, but to some wildlife, it might as well be. But there, or sometimes it has like a, it's not all the way to the ground. I mean, there's like a concrete barrier there, so they cannot get through that. So describe what you've seen, because you've been up and down looking at the border wall, pretty much every inch of it. And how does that impact the wildlife?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically for the last 7 years of my life, I've dedicated most of my time to studying the impacts of the wall. And that's meant traveling from San Diego to Brownsville, spending tons of time in wildlife refuges and national parks. And I have seen firsthand animals trapped by these barriers. Basically, the wall stops all migration, all movement of animals larger than a pocket mouse, larger than, you know, the few inches between the gaps of bollards that they can sneak through. This interferes with genetic interchange. It stops animals from being able to access food and water. You know, in South Texas, it means that wildlife can't get to the river to drink. And especially as we're seeing the impacts of climate change, hotter, drier summers, restricting the movement of wildlife to their water source can be deadly.
And now we're seeing more border wall being built in Starr County. That's federal government border wall being put there, 20 miles, is that it?
Correct, yeah, that's Department of Homeland Security building the wall, of course, in addition to the state-funded walls and some other areas. But yeah, these federally funded walls are going up directly adjacent to the Lower Rio Grande Valley National Wildlife Refuge, which is, I mean, hands down, the best remaining habitat for wildlife in the Rio Grande Valley. These walls and this lighting as well will further fragment that habitat. It'll continue to chip away at what's left of the tiny little bit of wildlife habitat we still have in South Texas. And again, I mean, this is just not an area we're seeing a lot of immigration. It's not a solution to this very complex issue. And the cost of this project, both financially and environmentally speaking, I mean, we are walling off communities in Texas from the river, walling off families from their fishing holes, walling off wildlife habitat for animals and their access to drinking water. It's just unconscionable.
Right. So the cost is extremely high in those terms that you look at, and also the cost to the taxpayer to put this thing. But, you know, the other issue is, like, what is the benefit? You know, when people are saying, we have to secure the Texas border the border,
right.
We do not have operational control of the border, so let's put a wall along the border. Are we getting those things?
Yeah, you know, I think if an administration, if the Department of Homeland Security was really serious about having operational control, as they call it, of the border, they would invest all of this money into technology, into surveillance. You know, border walls do not stop people. Almost every time I go to the border, I see new cuts through the wall. You can cut through these steel slats with a $100 angle grinder that any of us can buy at Home Depot. And it doesn't take long to cut through these things. I've seen videos of it being done. The wall is just, it's not a solution. And it's just extremely costly to wildlife. And of course, you know, it can cost up to $25 million a mile for taxpayers. So I think, you know, so much of our discussion around the border is just not grounded to the reality of the border region, which is one of incredible beauty, rugged expanses of wilderness areas. You know, it's a 2,000-mile border, and walling that off is, it's just a ridiculous idea.
Also, in your social media, you show how the construction of the wall and building new roads, how we've seen this, the careless destruction of a cactus forest, that some cactus that have been around for a long time, maybe 100 years, suddenly just knocked down because the people who are building these things don't seem to recognize what's in front of them.
Right. Yeah, it's been so heartbreaking, especially in Arizona. You know, we have our iconic saguaro cactuses here. Those cactuses can live up to 100 years before they even sprout a single arm. And they live 200, 250 years in their old age. And I've personally seen the destruction of these beautiful, iconic cactuses that have certainly been around longer than the border was itself. So we really have no right to do such things. And the Department of Homeland Security's insistence on waiving environmental laws, ignoring the Endangered Species Act, ignoring the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act to build border walls has inflicted such a significant amount of harm on the borderlands. You know, these scars are going to last many generations.
So explain that again about how we do have these laws for to protect endangered species, but they could just waive them because of the way they consider the security importance of this project.
Right. Yeah, this is a really little known aspect of the border wall. And without waiving these laws, many of these border wall sections would not be able to be built because they are running through designated wilderness or wildlife refuges, areas that have been designated to stop the kind of destruction that we're seeing the border wall inflict. But basically, the Department of Homeland Security is using this little-known provision to exempt itself from essentially all of our nation's most important environmental laws, cultural resource protection laws. With the strike of the pen, the Department of Homeland Security chief can waive any law that they want in order to rush the construction of border walls. So we've got the situation now in Starr County and other areas along the border where communities aren't protected by the same laws that all of the other folks who live in Texas and the rest of America are protected by. These communities no longer are protected by the Clean Air Act. So construction crews can emit as much particulate pollution as they want into these communities with no consequences. We've also seen the destruction and desecration of Native American graves and sacred sites because of the waiver of some of these cultural resource protection laws. You know, ultimately, we desperately want to see this waiver authority rescinded. We want to see legal protections restored to the borderlands. And we want to see Border Patrol and the Department of Homeland Security actually value the community.
Lakin Jordell is the Southwest Conservation Advocate for the Center for Biological Diversity. Lakin, thank you so much for joining us. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be discussing the Uvalde school shooting. We're coming up on 2 years marking that horrible day. What have we learned? What do we still need to find out? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.